I've made it a tradition now to begin the Pride Address to bring you a social media post by a young person. And it appeared on the Instagram page of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Wilmington. And it read, "Dear Church with the rainbow flag, thank you for being brave enough to put a flag up. I'm not religious, but if there is a God, I'm glad they have you. Sincerely, a thankful human. And this year I say again, I do hope that God, that Allah, that Yahweh, the creator of beauty, love, and truth, the great spirit of life, is glad to have us. We are glad to have each other in pride." 2 years ago, I spoke about how gender and sexuality are dealt with or not in the Bible, and what various faith traditions say about it. And last year, I spoke about being faithful to who you are, without apology or justification, and how we might practice a calling in rather than a calling out when we meet opposition and hatred from those who would condemn the Pride movement. But today, I want to talk about stories. Stories told and heard, stories that are authentic, true, and spoken with painful honesty and truthfulness. Stories can open our heart and enable us to experience empathy. A stream of meaning flows among and through us. Now, different religions, philosophies, different beliefs are chapters in one single story. And that is the story of us, the story of humanity. Ideally, we would move from debating difference to seeking shared meaning. And I think we aspire to do that here, imperfect and challenging as it often is. And if this is your first time here, we hold that there is no one source, no one book that contains all we need to know about how to live a meaningful and faithful life. Because the paths of faith and wisdom run through many lands and many, many cultures. Now, the words I speak from this rather elevated place are my own. I make no claim to speak the truth. We use this pulpit as a place for the free expression of ideas and insights. A place where words and ideas are spoken freely, and you are free to disagree. The organizers of this year's Pride Festival chose the theme, One Story, Many Voices. And this is about the thread that connects us across time, across borders, across very different lived experiences. And writing about the theme, the organizers of this year's Pride Festival suggest that the community has never been just one thing. It is shaped by different identities and histories, by many ways of moving through the world, through race, through gender, trans and non-binary experience, through culture, through faith, migration, through all the ways a life can be lived openly or carefully or somewhere in between. We do not seek to flatten differences into a single narrative. What holds us together is not sameness, but solidarity. We can stand alongside one another without needing our experiences to be identical. Because pride isn't one single spotlight on one particular notion or idea or even identity. It's a constellation, brightened by every voice that joins it, strengthened by every story that's told. And I have to say that many of those words reminds me very much of what Unitarians also hold to be true. Connections are created through storytelling because the difference between you and me is a story. Narrative 4 is an Irish charity. And they're dedicated to enabling young people from disadvantaged communities to write and share stories. And they would say and I heard it here in the church last year when they held a fundraising concert. They say that the shortest distance between two people is a story. Stories have the innate power to create empathy in society. Stories can shatter stereotypes. They can break down borders and end hate and prejudice. Now, I had the privilege during my youth work career to spend time with young people from diverse cultures with very different ethnic and religious identities. And this happened not only in Dublin, but also abroad. And I came away from that work realizing that children across cultures hold similar concerns, hopes, needs, expectations, dreams, and ambitions. And they shared the same doubts and uncertainties about what their religion taught them about how they should live their lives. And things changed once the smartphone became a constant presence in all of our lives. And today, we know more about what we share in common. Yet there are those who have made it their life's work to shatter those commonalities, to sow fear and hatred, particularly in the hearts of our young people. So what about the stories contained in the great wisdom literature of humanity? And let me share with you my Unitarian understanding of the Christian wisdom literature. Christians are generally understood to be people who believe that the words contained in the pages of the Bible are God's revelation to humanity, inerrant and true. And that brings a question. Did God choose to reveal their word to one nation, at one place and at one time, in the life of Jesus of Nazareth? And what of those who have never or will never hear the words of the New Testament? This is the Christian teaching, that God sent his only Son to die in the most brutal of circumstances in order to save us from the original sin of Adam and Eve, indeed the sin of each and every one of us. Now this is a deeply held belief by some, and I do not seek to trample on those beliefs. But I understand it differently. Jesus was put to death because he was a rebel, a troublemaker. He challenged those who cared less for the spiritual, emotional, or physical well-being of people. He was the very antithesis of this behavior. Jesus became the loving revolutionary whose passion filled his people with hope, whose promise united them in their search for justice and mercy. And Jesus believed and showed that God is neither bound by tradition nor impressed by protocol. And he was the ultimate storyteller, but he also was the one who listened, particularly to those shunned and hated by polite society. The religious fundamentalists. This makes sense to me, and I think this is the meaning behind the story. And I often say that it's about believing what we can rather than what we must. But it's not the only story. There is a Unitarian notion of God's greater Bible, which includes our stories. It includes every scientific fact and discovery, every heroic life, every splendid aspiration. All of this and more are part of the continuous revelation of God to humanity. Now, those words were spoken by Saville Hicks from this very pulpit, and he was minister here from the 1910s to the 1960s, almost 50 years. Are we saved by Jesus dying on the cross? Or rather, is salvation coming from living in loving relationships with each other? It places upon us a responsibility then to care for one another, not for some life everlasting, no, but now, in this life, in this world, in our time. Yes, we should be good, not only for ourselves, but we need to be good for something, beyond our own interests, and certainly beyond saving our own souls. As I said, you are free to reject that or any of those ideas. You don't need to believe in Jesus to be inspired by the stories told about him. In Baltimore, USA, in 1819, William Ellery Channing preached at the ordination of a Unitarian minister. And the title of his address was Unitarian Christianity, and it's become a key text for theology nerds like me. Now, Channing had no time for religious fundamentalism. He was opposed to the practice of anyone, priest or pastor, challenging a person's right to come to their own conclusions on matters of faith. He believed that one must read the words contained in the Bible, or any wisdom literature for that matter, in the light of their own experience, always asking, is this reasonable? He said, do not shrink from the duty of searching God's word for yourselves through fear of human censure and denunciation, and he was denunciated. He celebrated what he called the moral progress of society from the consequent decline of prejudice and bigotry. You see, he sensed in his time a falling away of fanaticism in religion and a decline in hierarchies and other human institutions by which the minds of individuals are oppressed. Now, this was in 1819. But while this liberal thinking was taking hold in North America, it had begun much earlier on this side of the Atlantic. The ancestors of this Unitarian community were urging people towards freedom, freedom from dogmas and doctrines they believed stifled our gift of freedom and reason, which was inherent in every person. Indeed, the freedom to reject the notion of God in the first place. I believe what I can, not what I must. And of course, our reason alone cannot answer all. We embrace mystery and all that we cannot explain by reason alone. Perhaps a holy imagination. There was a notion deeply held by Unitarians way back then, and it was the constant progress of humanity, onward and upward. And every generation puts aside, slowly but surely, the prejudices of the past, and moves towards building the beloved community where humanity, using its gift for reason and curiosity, creates and maintains a better, more equal society. But we know that humans seek certainties, and often old biases and cruelties return, and people try to undo many of those liberties achieved in the past. I believe this may very well be happening now, in our time. What Channing thought was happening in 1819, I thought was happening in Ireland. First at the time of the decriminalisation of homosexuality, then with the decline of the great power of the Roman Catholic Church in Irish society, then again after the result of the marriage referendum. But look at us now. We are surrounded by a collision of hatred. And Channing finished his very long sermon with, our earnest prayer to God is that he will overturn and overturn and overturn the strongholds of spiritual usurpation. Spiritual usurpation, the illicit seizure or wrongful assumption of religious, spiritual, or existential authority. The classic practice of the religious fundamentalist. And there are powerful influences in today's society applying that very fundamentalism into our politics and society. There have always been people in society who will use scripture, which is the collection of stories, to justify war, racism, misogyny, and hatred of the queer community. they interpret Scripture to justify their own political and economic agendas. And so the wisdom literature of the world, such as the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, are really only useful when read in light of our own lived experience. If taken as once for all inerrant revelation from God, it becomes cruel, it becomes oppressive, an unreasonable burden. It becomes a tyrant. The Buddha said, it is proper to doubt when faced with uncertainty. And he encouraged his followers to trust their own instincts over blind faith in traditions or religious texts or even his own teachings. If you ever meet the Buddha, he said, kill him. Not literally, of course, but be alert to those who claim any possession of the truth. So returning to the words describing this year's Pride Festival, humanity has never been just one thing. It is shaped by different identities and histories, by many ways of moving through the world, through all the ways a life can be lived openly or carefully or somewhere in between. And this describes so well what may be called the scriptures of life, and perhaps a sign of God's continuing revelation to humanity. But you are in a Unitarian church, and belief in God is not a requirement. And if there is such a thing as divine revelation, it comes to us in our collective experience of the inherent goodness of humanity and its capacity for love. It comes to us when we listen to the stories of people who have different life experiences to us, a constellation brightened by every voice that joins it, strengthened by every story that is told. Amen.